Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the World Soccer Talk podcast and our World Cup preview. It's finally here. World Cup 2022. We've been waiting for it for 4 years, but basically 4.5 years because of no summer competition. And here we are in the late fall, and before you know it, it'll be winter. So this is our comprehensive guide to exploring all the different ways you can watch and listen to the World Cup. For anyone who hasn't listened to World Soccer Talk before, that's our area of focus and specialty, is covering the game in terms of all the viewing options, talking about the television coverage, radio coverage, basically the soccer media business. My name is Christopher Harris, and I'm joined today by Kartik Krishnayar. So, Kartik, before we go into the TV details and streaming details and 4K and radio and highlights and everything that kind of revolves around the World Cup, let's talk about, first of all, it has been 4.5 years since the 2018 World Cup, but what for you are you most looking forward to in this tournament, and what are you least looking forward to?
Well, as someone who's not really looking forward to the tournament, who's annoyed by the disruption to the club season that we've got outside of some lower divisions, I guess the thing I'm most looking forward to is watching Wales and watching the championship players, or players that I've watched in the championship in the second division in England, that really comprise the backbone of that Welsh team. I know the headlines are garnered by people like Gareth Bale, who've been global superstars, and Aaron Ramsey, a previous superstar. But the backbone of that team, even if they're playing in the Premier League or other places now, honed in the lower divisions of English football. So that's what I'm really excited about. The thing I'm least interested in, or least excited about, is the U.S. men's national team chatter, which I put off to the side. I've tried to compartmentalize it somewhere away from me. And while I would normally like to see the United States, which is my country, do well in any World Cup or any major international competition, the unrealistic expectations and the toxicity of the U.S. men's national team fan base is making it very difficult for me to actually be enthused about them. You then couple that with them being in a group with Wales, who I've talked about already, and England, who, I mean, I basically know the English players probably better on a week-to-week basis than most of the American players. It becomes, you know, really kind of a chore to think about or talk about the U.S. men's national team. So for me, the thing I may be looking forward to the most, Chris, actually, is when the U.S. gets eliminated, and then we can just talk about the tournament.
Yeah, well, so for me, it's a little bit different, Kartik. So what I'm most looking forward to is seeing the U.S. play. I mean, it's been 8 years since we've seen them play in a World Cup tournament. Going into this competition, yes, among a lot of people on social media, certain U.S. fans are, I mean, overhyped, over-exaggerated, and kind of probably thinking that they're going to win the World Cup. But it's 32 teams. It's possible that any of them can win it, really, at the end of the day. But it's likely that one of the big teams is going to win it. And the U.S. is not that big team yet. So for me, I mean, after, 8 years of frustration, of hype, of low morale, and then kind of high expectations. It'll be interesting for me. That's what I'm most looking forward to seeing, is where is this US team at? I mean, what level are they at? Can they advance from that first group? And if they do advance from that first group, how can they do against some of these other countries? So they might face, you know, who knows, Senegal in the second round. And how do they do against African competition, one of the best teams in Africa? So that's what I'm most looking forward to. What I'm least looking forward to is every 4 years, usually the dinosaurs come out, and the dinosaurs are a lot of the basically professional media in the United States. And oftentimes it's maybe a newspaper columnist, or if it's a local TV broadcaster who never talk about soccer, don't even, you mean, kind of basically say it exists. And then every 4 years, we have them pop up and say some really, really dumb things. The sad thing about this, Kartik, is in my local area, which I'm not too far from Jacksonville, Florida. It's a very big college football town. It's a very big NFL town. And I've already seen this in two instances. And the World Cup hasn't even started yet. The first instance was the NWSL Championship Final live on CBS. Except my local CBS, for the first 30 minutes of the game, we're having basically showing like a local college football show, kind of a post game from one of the, it might have been, I don't know, UF or something like that. Anyway, so the college football. So we missed the first 30 minutes because of local television coverage about college football. And then the second thing is one of the local reporters to me got into a conversation with Taylor Twellman, and the local TV reporter said that soccer's not even a sport. It's on the same level as ping pong. I have to laugh a little bit at this stuff because it's so ridiculous. But anyway, that's what I'm least looking forward to, is more and more of that. And that's just one city in the United States. We will see a lot more, I'm sure. Because these people, I mean, to them, soccer is not in their jurisdiction, and not even in their thought process at all. And obviously they know nothing about that sport. So that's what I don't like. But sometimes you just have to laugh it off because of how dumb they can be. Now, what about Kartik? We haven't seen any Fox's coverage yet, of course, of the World Cup. I'm sure we both want to go in there with open minds. But in terms of what you've seen thus far, in terms of the lineups, whether it's the commentators or the studio talent, are you confident that this one will be better than 2018?
Not really. I think it'll probably be pretty similar. And the relief, I think, for some of us is that the U.S. is playing the second day of the World Cup, so we don't have a week full of hype about the U.S. team before they play their first match, which is what ESPN has done in some previous tournaments, by the way. So it's not really a Fox fault. It's something that ESPN did most famously in 2006, where we were hearing about the U.S. constantly until the U.S. played and got beat. But I don't. My expectations are very low. My intention is to watch Fox a little bit for the studio shows. I think, contrary to the popular opinion among the U.S. men's national team Twitter sphere, the same people who you mentioned, they expect the U.S. to win the World Cup, Chris. No, actually, they don't. They think the U.S. would win the World Cup if they were coaching the team, right? If random USMNT fan on Twitter that gets 800 likes for some really bad hot take were coaching the team, they'd win the World Cup. But because Berhalter is coaching the team, they're going to finish out of the running. So I am looking forward to kind of Alexi Lalas, who these same Twitter people and YouTube people don't like and don't rate as an analyst, getting into actual analysis of the U.S. team vis-a-vis the rest of the field, so to speak. Because Lalas, despite his reputation, I think is very honest about the U.S. men's national team when the time comes to be honest. Yes, he'll build them up in advance, but unlike some of the other studio analysts that we've seen at various networks who cover this national team, he won't pull his punches when they perform poorly or when they may, when they underwhelm. So that I'm looking forward to. I think he will be an effective check on some of the things we see maybe in other parts of the Fox conversation.
Yeah, a couple of things on that. The first thing is that I think my theory in terms of Twitter, and I know you see this more than I do, Kartik, in terms of kind of just fans going way overboard in terms of you mean thinking that they know better than Greg Berhalter, that they know which team should be picked and all this stuff, is a lot of it, honestly, I believe, is basically, you mean, children. So you might have 12 or 13-year-olds on Twitter with an avatar. You don't know what age they are. And they're tweeting about the USMNT and saying, okay, this and that, or doing tons of likes, or you mean. So I think a lot of that, too. I mean, if I was 11 or 12 or 13 and I was tweeting out some of my thoughts at that time about soccer, you mean, I'm sure my peers, my adults would probably say, like, this guy doesn't know anything. He hasn't, hasn't had as much experience watching soccer and knowing how this works and you mean, kind of US's place within the world in terms of the kind of the soccer, top 20 or top 50 teams in the world. That's the first thing. And then in terms of Fox's coverage, yeah, I think it's definitely, in some ways it is refreshing to have Alexi Lalas be honest and critical, except when he gets kind of on the other side, the other extreme, where he's like, rah-rah USA, we're the best team in the world, why can't we win the World Cup? And you mean, it's patriotic, definitely, but it definitely seems to be, to me at least, insincere or a little bit fake or a little bit kind of playing to the crowd. However, I would say that it was interesting last weekend, I think it was for the NFL coverage over the Veterans Day weekend, is they did a quick, maybe like 2-minute promo for Fox's coverage of the World Cup and had Greg Berhalter and Alexi Lalas on set with the NFL guys. And what was interesting, I thought, was that instead of saying, okay, hey, come back here Monday the 21st, we've got USA against Wales in the opening game. No, they completely skipped that. Didn't even mention that. Come back on Black Friday, England against USA. This is going to be the biggest game ever. Let's go USA, USA. So I think in many ways, too, I think it's almost like that. It's almost like they know that there's going to be not that much interest in Wales as a country. And they probably think in their minds that the US will storm through, win this game pretty easily. And then we'll set it up then for that England-USA game where most people are going to be off work. Most people are going to be home. Most people are going to be watching this game. And they're hoping for some massive, massive TV numbers. But yeah, there's still that first game against Wales to get past first. All right, Kartik, let's move on. All right, let's get to the heart of this podcast and this World Cup preview, which is talking about the television coverage in more detail. Now, for this pertains to the United States of America, of course, and all the viewing options, depending on which country in the world you're listening to this podcast, and we do have a lot of people listening overseas, this is not going to apply to you, but feel free if you want to find out more details about what we're doing and how this World Cup is going to be covered. On television, it's pretty easy. On the English language side, Fox Sports have the exclusive rights. So games will be on Fox and FS1. The majority of them are going to be on Fox, over-the-air network. On weekends where there is NFL games, FS1 is going to be showing those games. Now, on the Spanish side, almost all the games are going to be on Telemundo, which is another free-to-air, over-the-air network. And same just like with Fox and FS1, any of the games that they can't show on Telemundo are going to be shown on Universo. Now, in terms of coverage, Fox is actually showing less games on the Fox network this year than they were in 2018. And again, that's because of those NFL games, and I think college football maybe too, on the weekends. So Telemundo is going to be definitely showing more games in Spanish language on television than Fox is. But between those, between Fox, FS1, Telemundo, and Universo, if you have access to those channels, you'll get all the games. Now, 4K. So 4K, you mean, we want to watch soccer in the best way possible, and Fox and FS1 will be showing games in 4K. So if you have, if your carrier broadcasts in 4K and you have a TV set that can show at 4K, that's the way to go. Telemundo, unfortunately, is not going to be showing games in 4K. And I asked them about this past week, and they said that it's not going to be 4K, but it's going to be as close to 4K as possible. It's still going to be a very, very great picture quality. Now, streaming gets a little bit interesting too on this one, is that these games are going to be at 5 a.m., 8 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and this is all Eastern time. So Monday, obviously 7 days a week, but most of those games are going to be during office hours. So if you're like most of us in office hours, where we can still watch a game kind of on a laptop or a phone while we're working, there are many different options. So there's the Fox Sports app, and this one you have to have authentication. So you have to have a subscription either through cable or satellite or through a streaming service and subscribe to Fox, where you get Fox and FS1, to put in your login credentials to be able to watch the games through the Fox Sports app. Now, the other option is on-demand games. So on-demand games, 30 minutes after the games end, they will be available on demand through Tubi. And that's T-U-B-I. And that is free to watch. And it will have commercials, but the commercials will be before the game starts, a halftime, and after the game ends. So it's not going to be during the actual broadcast itself. Kartik, have you had a chance to kind of experiment with Tubi at all?
Yeah.
These last few months?
Yeah, so I think with the European Nations League, I use Tubi for certain matches. And so what we have with Tubi, you have to find the Fox Sports feed on Tubi, the channel. Once you turn that on, you get the games. And my understanding about the World Cup is that it will be a continuous feed, which is, I mean, that's good and bad, right? One, you have to find it. That's not great. But go ahead. Yeah.
Hey, Kartik. And I was just going to say, because I spoke to Tubi yesterday too, so I wanted to clarify this too, because I know that that was something that happened in the past. I wanted to find out for the World Cup. I said to them, like, hey, I know you have a 24/7 kind of Fox Sports FIFA feed or channel on Tubi that shows highlights and shows, you mean, clips of this, that, and the other. But if you want to watch a game on demand, is it going to be available on demand where you can just go in later in that day or later in the evening and click on, say, USA against Wales and be able to watch that game without having to watch the virtual channel and hoping that the game starts when you want to watch it? And the answer is that, yeah, you can go in there and you'll find USA against England, USA against Wales, whatever the game may be, and it'll be on demand right there for you to click on.
So that's great, but the positive about that FIFA channel that they're airing is that, unlike Peacock with the Premier League, where you have to exit, well, they'll have like the studio shows in between matches, right? And they'll, in the middle of the studio show, suddenly your coverage has ended. That screen of death on Peacock, right, with the circles, and your coverage has ended, and then you have to go find the feed for the next match, click on that, and then pick up the studio coverage from there. That's if you watch the in-between programming, which I know I probably do more of than you do, Chris, in terms of NBC studio programming. But Peacock has been a pain for the Premier League because you have to keep changing feeds, right? To go from the 7:30 Eastern time kickoff to the 10 o'clock Eastern time kickoff to the 12:30, which is also on NBC, right? You have to keep changing feeds. the convenience of the Tubi setup is once you find that feed, that this is assuming you're watching the matches live, right? On demand, as you mentioned, different thing. It's one channel, and you can just keep it running.
Right. However, Tubi's not going to be showing the games live, so anything you see is going to be old content, basically. I mean, it might be highlights from the game that just ended, or it might be coverage from the day before.
It might be the full, or like the, what they're calling, I guess, condensed, like 60 minutes of a 90 minute match, but you could watch basically the whole thing.
Yeah, so that's that. So the tricky part, though, is I know in previous, actually 2018 World Cup, and in previous years, the Fox Sports app itself has been buggy. It's gone through different evolutions. I know I've used it in the past, and I haven't used it in a while, but I haven't had good experiences with it. And again, too, you have to use your cable, satellite, or streaming logins to be able to actually access it. So it's not going to be completely free, in quotation marks. However, I mean, there are other streaming services available that will broadcast the game. So, like, for example, there's Fubo TV, Sling Blue, YouTube TV, VidGo, and others, where it'll give you access to the Fox and FS1 games, so you can watch them either live or on demand. My recommendation is Fubo TV, only because you have access to Fox and FS1 and Telemundo and Universo. So you have all four of the channels that are going to be showing the games. You can record those games. You can watch on different devices. It's not buggy like the Fox Sports app is. Fubo's got a 7-day free trial. But the other thing about this, though, too, is that as this tournament progresses, to be able to flip back and forth between FS1 and Telemundo, or between Fox and Telemundo, I think is vital, just because, I mean, this is a long tournament, 64 games. I'm sure you've had the same thing before in the past, Kartik, where sometimes I just get tired of Fox's coverage and I just want a break, or I want to go to Telemundo. And oftentimes, actually, the hint on this one, the tip on this one, is that Telemundo oftentimes will be ahead of the Fox Sports' coverage. So, for example, I don't know, Gareth Bale scores an amazing goal for Wales against England, and the second that goal happens, you can have Telemundo and FS1 or Telemundo and Fox side by side on different TV screens, and you'll see sometimes the Gareth Bale goal against England going in, say, 10 seconds before you see it on Fox or FS1. And that's huge, right? You want to be in the moment. You want to be celebrating. You want to be jumping up and down, or whoever your team is, whoever scores that goal, whatever the amazing thing it is. But you don't want to be seeing that instant, that live moment 10 seconds later. So that's what we've experienced in previous World Cups, even going back to the ESPN Univision days, where it was the same thing too. Univision would be showing that actual goal, say, 10 seconds before Fox would actually show it. So that's my recommendation, is with Fubo, you can pick and choose what you want to see and jump back and forth.
This actually happened in 2014 also between Univision and ESPN. Watching things on Univision, you tended to see it, at least on my satellite system, cable system, 10 to 15 seconds before you saw it on ESPN.
The other thing, though, too, Kartik, and you know this too, as far as the actual passion and the noise, and oftentimes, I don't know why, but Telemundo and Univision, yes, it's more passionate in terms of the commentary, but the sound sounds better. You hear the crowd noise more. It's not so much drowned out. It is drowned out oftentimes on the Fox broadcasts and on ESPN in previous World Cups too. Is the sound always sounds so much better on the Spanish language broadcasts? And maybe part of it is the commentary, where it is so passionate and they're giving it their all. And even if you don't understand what they're saying, it's incredible just to listen to that, just raw passion. And then, say, on the English language side, often the style of most American soccer commentators is a goal is scored and then just let it lay. Just don't say anything for about 5 to 10 seconds. Just complete silence, which is, to me, is the opposite of what should be happening. At that moment when a goal goes in, you go crazy, right? You go, oh my gosh, this is celebrate the moment of that goal. Don't be quiet and let the crowd noise kind of try to fill that blank space. You mean if you're in the stadium, yeah, but if you're actually broadcasting the game to your nation on television, you know, don't put the silence in. Just go for it. The other thing that's interesting about this too, so we talked about Fox Sports, the app, and then Tubi for on demand. Now, the other part of this, which is brand new, which is very, very interesting for cord cutters especially, is Peacock. So Peacock has every single game of the World Cup. The first 12 games that they're showing are going to be free for any Peacock subscribers, no matter what level you're at. And then after the 12th game, through to the end of the tournament, you have to have Peacock Premium to be able to watch the World Cup. The price is $5 a month. So as far as a deal, you can't beat that. All the games will be in Spanish. So going back to talking again about that passion and just that sheer joy of the game, Peacock's definitely something to consider. In addition to that, too, Telemundo Deportes, their app, is going to be streaming the games, too. But again, with Telemundo Deportes app, I believe you still need to have authentication. So whether you subscribe to Telemundo and Universo through cable, satellite, or streaming, you have to use those credentials to log into that. But Peacock, certainly an option. And Kartik, going back to what you were saying before, too, I think the Peacock thing where you have to jump from game to game to game, you mean in terms of once the game ends and then you have kind of the in-between coverage on different devices, it still does kind of auto move on to the next thing without having to exit out. So I know, I think it's Roku and Apple TV. I think it works that way, but it doesn't work on every single device. So that's...
It doesn't, yeah. For my Apple TV, it doesn't work that way.
Okay, so maybe it's Roku then on that one where it does automatically kind of... like within 10 seconds, it kind of moves on, autoplays whatever the next live segment is. All right. On streaming, Kartik, do we miss anything? Actually, TV streaming in 4K, have we forgotten anything there that you can think of?
No. I mean, I think the thing to keep an eye on is for highlights, you're going to have Fox Soccer. And I believe, I don't know what Telemundo is doing highlights-wise. Maybe you have more information on that. But Fox Soccer is going to be releasing FIFA highlights through the Fox Soccer channel on YouTube. And then also FIFA, if you subscribe to FIFA, FIFA's YouTube channel, you'll get highlights that way, which are not geo-blocked. So if you subscribe to Fox Soccer and you're outside the United States, you will not see those clips on the Fox Soccer YouTube channel.
What I would say is that this tournament is going to be probably the most accessible World Cup ever. So most of the games, actually, well, all the games are going to be on free-to-air television. Most of the games. So the only games that would not be on free-to-air would be the ones that in that final day of group stage where you have a couple games happening at the same time. And so it's, you mean, one of the games will be on Telemundo, the other one will be on Universo. Same thing with Fox and FS1. One of them will be on Fox, another one on FS1. So that's the only games that you wouldn't be able to get exclusively on over-the-air television. But streaming, I mean, $5 a month through Peacock, all the Fubo TV in terms of having all the channels, all the options, all the bells and whistles, Sling, YouTube TV, Fox Sports app, etc. And Tubi, yeah, the Tubi is a great idea too. So you got a lot of different options. Highlights, like you said, Kartik, too. I mean, the other part of highlights is that Twitter is going all in on working with Fox to provide a lot of the clips through Twitter. So you'll see a lot of activity on that side. It's going to be a lot. What about coverage, Kartik? So if somebody is listening and they're not happy for whatever reason with Fox's coverage, that their analysis of some of these teams or some of these games where they may be lacking in knowledge of specific teams. Where would you recommend they go to try to get more insight?
Yeah, so there are incredible options in terms of UK-based YouTube channels. So obviously, everyone knows Sky Sports and BBC Sport. You can subscribe to whatever is available for global consumption, right? You know, in terms of what's available in the UK, it's different. Well, for the BBC, because they'll have bumper rights. Sky doesn't, right? So nothing will be geo-blocked from them. But there are other YouTube channels, like, for example, The Athletic's TIFO football channel is going to have daily YouTube content with, I think, some really insightful analysis and tactical analysis if you want that stuff, and if you feel like you need that stuff because you're not getting it from Fox or wherever in the U.S. So that's TIFO football on YouTube.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It's owned by The Athletic, so you know you might even get a deal to subscribe to The Athletic out of it, right? They run promos, and I think they'll probably have a World Cup promo. There are a number of other YouTube channels that I would recommend that give you kind of deeper dive analysis. HITC Stevens is another one based out of the UK that's very, very, very good at kind of breaking this stuff down and giving some analysis. And then there's obviously the usual array of podcasts if you want some deeper dive analysis, starting with the Guardian's Football Weekly, which will be Guardian World Cup Daily during the World Cup.
Yeah, and in addition to that, so as far as the World Soccer Talk podcast, we're going to see how it goes, right? So it's going to be more focused on the television coverage. We're going to be talking about it as the tournament unfolds. So it might be every few days we might do a podcast. A lot of it depends on what happens with the news and what happens with the coverage. Hopefully everything goes to according to plan, and there's nothing much to talk about other than the games. And if that's the case, we'll talk about the games. Which will be fine by me. I'm sure there's going to be some good games to look forward to coming up soon. Also on the website side at worldsoccertalk.com, we've hired more than a dozen writers that are going to be covering all of the 32 teams in this World Cup. So we've got daily content there, articles, videos, etc., guides, the schedule, the bracket, the predictor. All the kits, all the information you can possibly need or want, especially in regards to television coverage too. So we've got all those details there. My recommendation in terms of if you are feeling that you're missing out on some of the kind of the analysis, especially the kind of in the moment analysis, is radio. Is radio streaming over the internet? I think my recommendation would be BBC Radio 5. From the UK. They're going to be broadcasting, actually streaming most of the games on radio, if not all the games on radio, actually. Also, TalkSport is. TalkSport, I like to a certain extent, but I'm not a big fan of their analysis. I think there's a few of their pundits that are really, really poor and really, really weak in terms of understanding the world's game. and are too English-centric and are too, I guess what's the word I'm looking for, too basic in their analysis, like really, really basic analysis. So BBC Radio 5 is definitely something to look at. And then SiriusXM FC is going to be broadcasting, according to World Soccer Talk, the games on a Fox Sports channel through there, which are going to be most likely to be the actual television commentary audio feed. Not ideal, but it's better than nothing there. BBC Radio 5, I'm sure, will probably try to geo-block some of the coverage during the tournament itself. So if you do try listening in, and if you do get a message to say that, sorry, but this coverage is blocked in your country, you can always use a virtual private network, a VPN, to get around that, to listen to their analysis. The other option too is actually if you're watching the games, either it's through Telemundo or Fox or Peacock, is to sync up the radio commentary with the TV commentary, so with the TV game itself. So if you're watching a game and the game kicks off on TV and then you have the radio broadcast, the radio commentary synced up at that same time, you can actually, you know, watch the pictures, watch the game itself, but then listen to the commentary. And actually, to be honest though, Kartik, I think with Fox's coverage this year of the and featuring the commentators that they have, it's a lot stronger than they've had in previous years. So that's the part I'm not as worried about. The part I'm kind of worried about really is the studio side. You mentioned Lalas. Lalas can be good at times, but outside of Lalas, I don't have a lot of confidence. But again, I'll keep an open mind and see how they do in terms of their analysis of the game itself. All right, let's move on to listener mailbag. We've got some feedback about some of our thoughts about the World Cup. And the first one is from Bram Weiser. He says, I don't understand how you can say, as you did in this last episode, that you don't see Fox advertising for the World Cup. How did you conclude this? Did you watch any of the World Series last week? There were several mentions in each telecast about the upcoming World Cup, including a commercial with John Hamm as Santa Claus and several USMNT players that itself has gotten mentioned in mainstream press. There was even an on-screen interstitial blurb about it in each World Series game that showed the trophy and four key players, as the announcer mentioned that the tournament started on November 20th. There's been news in mainstream press, as well as a balloon that Fox will have in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade just as the tournament begins, so as to highlight their coverage. Maybe it's not enough promotion in your eyes, but saying they're just not promoting it to a mainstream audience is simply incorrect. So that one, Bram, on that one, honestly, I didn't watch a minute of the World Series. And this is an issue with Fox in the past, too, is that On Fox, they will go ahead and advertise or promote the coverage that they'd have. But if I'm not watching Fox Sports and I'm interested in soccer, I'm not going to see those commercials. And yes, I have seen the John Hamm commercials here and there, but not many times at all. So taking that into account, I think Fox has not really done a good job of promoting this World Cup. I'm not seeing the ads everywhere I go. Everything I'm watching on television, whatever it may be, or going online, I'm not seeing much advertising from Fox. So, yes, if you're watching the World Series or watching another program on Fox Sports, I'm sure you see a lot of advertising outside of Fox Sports. Not much at all. Mercator says that the funny thing about bribery is that the point is to make money for the individuals taking the bribes, not the organization. FIFA is an organization that has been tremendously harmed by the current World Cup being in Qatar from a PR perspective and economic. But the people who were bribed and voted for this charade all made off with the money they were expecting. US thankfully went after a few, but by and large, those who took Qatar's money and voted for the joke of a tournament are still there at FIFA and their national football federations. The delegation from Mali or Oman don't give a damn about football or the World Cup. They are probably on the FA because the uncle's sister married the king, and their only objective is in their role is to make as much money for themselves as possible. This is a voting majority of the FAs in FIFA. It's not a competent morale or well-run organization. It's a vehicle for prestige and graft for most of the national FAs. So if you keep this basic fact in mind, everything FIFA does makes complete sense. And just to be clear, too, these are Mercator's viewpoints, not necessarily mine or Will Soccer Talk's. However, there is the fact that, there's been so many shows that we've seen in the last few weeks, whether it's FIFA Uncovered on Netflix or others, that have really kind of brought back a lot of the reporting, the information that we knew a few years ago, where Qatar officials bribed, according to reports in the Sunday Times and other places, bribed FIFA officials to be able to go ahead and vote for Qatar instead of England and the United States. Actually, the United States was the one that was probably the closest to winning the rights to the 2022 World Cup, and not Qatar, but Qatar eventually won it, of course. Kartik, have you watched any of the kind of the latest documentaries that have been out? So ESPN had the one with Jeremy Schaaf, and then it was the Netflix's FIFA Uncovered. What's your thoughts in regards to all of this? What Mercator is bringing up?
Well, I haven't watched either yet. So, but I do think that it's interesting that we now have a lot of scrutiny as the event approaches, rather than 5, 7, 12 years ago when the World Cup was awarded. I still remember the date. It was early December 2010 when Qatar was awarded the World Cup. I do think, obviously, with more focus on the event among casual fans, this is a time for documentaries to air, but I almost wish that these were just re-airing of documentaries that had been made several years ago, which they're not, right? The general public and even some of the people who follow this closely haven't been exposed to some of the anecdotal stories that I understand are in, particularly the Netflix documentary. I'm not as familiar with the ESPN one, but the Netflix one I've been briefed on, even though I haven't actually watched it yet. I've briefed on what's in there, and a lot of that stuff I just wish had come to light in the past. But better late than never, and now maybe people will have a different approach as they begin to watch the tournament.
Yeah. The Netflix one definitely seemed to be more of a primer, kind of like, hey, if anyone missed all the news that happened 12 years ago, here's exactly what happened. And here's the history of FIFA coming up to 2022 and just kind of all the corruption, all of the issues, embarrassments and everything that have happened. And this is not the first time that this has happened in a tournament. This has been going on for many, many tournaments. You go back to the 2006 World Cup when German officials bribed FIFA to win that World Cup. You go to South Africa in 2014. Brazil, I'm sure you didn't hear as much about Brazil bribing officials to get the World Cup. 2018, Russia getting the World Cup. You mean just ridiculous. And then 2022, and we know that even Qatar officials bribed their way to get this World Cup. So you're right, Kartik. I mean, all of these things we've known for many, many years. And the shame of it is that, only now is this, in terms of Netflix doing a series, this should have been done years ago. I mean, the book Red Card, by the author that goes into a lot of the details, the book by David Kahn that goes into a lot of the details. These books were written years ago. So why? I mean, it really kind of seems that the timing of this documentary was like, hey, let's time it to go ahead and release it just a week before the World Cup happens in 2022, when there's nothing you can do other than watch it, learn from it, or be reminded of all the things that happened. But why this didn't happen years ago is a shame. All right, let's move on to Greg. Greg says FIFA is not being financially harmed by the event in Qatar. Ticket sales are apparently already at pace with previous years. They have plenty of sponsorships and good revenue projections for the tournament, which show a healthy profit for FIFA. Reputationally, Yeah, which is tough to do considering how bad the reputation was before this. Infantino does them no PR favors from established media, but I think he doesn't care. He's spread cash around like a true machine politician. So has most of the Middle East, Africa, and Asia in his back pocket. As you note, enough to withstand any pushback from Europe or South America. And I think, you mean, like when I asked in the beginning of this podcast, what are the things we're looking forward to the most and the least? I think one of the other things I'm looking forward to the least is hoping that FIFA doesn't cause any more embarrassment, that doesn't make me feel ashamed to be a soccer fan. You mean by doing something stupid, by saying something stupid, or just making a stupid decision. At the end of the day, I mean, the soccer fans are really the most important part of the sport. Without us, this wouldn't be happening. You mean the game itself wouldn't be happening. So hopefully they'll make the smart decisions. They haven't done that thus far, but hopefully they'll wise up. I just don't have a lot of faith in that, unfortunately.
Yeah, nor do I. And Chris, real quickly, let me just give a clarification on what you said earlier about SiriusXM. I want to clarify that the matches will actually be on Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM, which is channel 83. And I believe there might be some matches that they do on 157, which is SiriusXM FC, but I'm just recalling that it's actually, the matches are actually on the Fox Sports channel.
Yeah, you're correct. Maybe those overflow games where those two games happening at once, they would have one of the games on the SiriusXM FC channel. But yeah, you're right. Fox Sports SiriusXM channel will have those games on the radio there. But I mean, I don't know. To me, I would go to the source. If you can get BBC Radio 5 and actually have radio commentary with an actual commentator who's inside the stadium commentating for radio, as opposed to television, where you're just taking the television audio feed and then trying to listen to that and try without seeing the pictures of the game happening. If you're at work or driving and you're trying to imagine what's happening, but the TV commentator's not giving you, I don't know, it's just different mediums. So I would recommend the BBC Radio 5 option if you can, if you are listening to radio. Bundesliga. JP says, in regards to what we said last week, funny to hear you say Bundesliga got its shot at the Premier League type coverage when they were on Fox, while during all that time you continually criticized how Fox treated them and were glowing about their prospects when going to ESPN+. I do think they could gain popularity if someone was dedicated to providing good coverage. CBS with Serie A is the template. All available on streaming, select matches shown on TV, wraparound coverage for many matches. The one thing CBS could add is select matches on over-the-air CBS instead of just CBS Sports Network. But I do think that Serie A's profile has been elevated with CBS. The problem with the Bundesliga and ESPN is that they have so many properties, it gets lost in the shuffle. Serie A saw this too. Right now they push La Liga mostly, but even that is kind of lost in the shuffle if you're a casual fan. Casual fans are what's needed for other leagues to come close to the Premier League's popularity, but the Premier League, with the common language and in turn media coverage, written or television, that is easily consumed, even if it's from overseas, and will always have the advantage here. So, go ahead, Kozik.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think I agree with a lot of that, but I from JP, but I do think one thing I've noticed now, a year and a half into CBS having the Serie A rights, is that what it's done is it's effectively just given Serie A fans and people who are big proponents of Serie A and Italian football a place where they're seeing a lot more matches and getting a lot better coverage. It hasn't actually, to my and again, this is a lot very anecdotal, and we don't know the bottom line because CBS Sports Network is not Nielsen rated, but it doesn't feel like Serie A is any more in the consciousness of the average U.S. soccer fan than it was before. But I do think that there's been a gravitation of Serie A fans to CBS Sports, and people who, quite frankly, Serie A fans are very tribal, a lot of them. They don't watch other leagues. And they've been able to cut the cord on their ESPN Plus subscription. They've never needed Peacock because they don't watch the Premier League. So it's given them a place where they can actually elevate and elevate their voices. But I'm not sure it's actually grown the profile of the league in this country. Maybe it has, but we don't know for sure. At least I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's grown it either, but I do think it's given it more prestige or makes it feel more important or gives it the coverage that it deserves. Because, I mean, it is a great league. It's got tons of history, fantastic players, some really great games to watch and some great skill. It's a great home for Serie A, I think, in terms of being on CBS Sports. However, in terms of what JP was saying, I think with the Bundesliga, to me, the what I mean by that when I was saying that the Bundesliga got its shot, it did get its shot. I mean, to me, the best opportunity that the Bundesliga ever had to go ahead and go head-to-head with the Premier League and try to maybe close the gap, it was when they were on Fox Sports. However, Fox Sports completely screwed it up. I mean, in terms of even just like what? It was about 2 weeks before the coverage started. There was no details about where the games would be. We were hearing details about from my sources that a lot of the games would be on Fox Soccer Plus. A bunch of them would be on FS2. Some of them would be on FS1. And then maybe now and again a game on Fox. But they had a good property. When you think back in hindsight now, Kartik, you think of the players that they had at that time. They had Christian Pulisic, arguably in his prime. I mean, since he's gone to Chelsea, I really feel that he's not the same player that he was at Dortmund. You had Erling Haaland. Arguably, again, just an incredible player. And so many other teams, so many other players to watch that they could have really pushed. If they'd done a really good job, just as CBS is doing with Serie A, if Fox had done something similar with the Bundesliga, got its act together, realized what a jewel it could have closed the gap. Instead, it screwed up the coverage. Yes, it did show the games on the different channels, but it didn't really seem like a really well done production of the Bundesliga. And as a result, it went to ESPN Plus. And at ESPN Plus, you mean it's a lot more accessible. It's easier to watch the games. Yes, now La Liga is kind of the one that's talked about much, much more on ESPN Plus. But I think that's really because they spent so much money acquiring the rights to that they feel that they have to push it more. But I think the Bundesliga unfortunately lost out, but because of Fox's mistakes. All right, just a couple more comments to go. NWSL, Dave says, great to hear that NWSL is doing well. Good attendance. Good ratings, good product on the field, some cultural not to fix for sure. Hopefully the generation of coaches and owners who are okay with these behaviors continue to age out or otherwise leave the profession. It is enjoyable to watch the continued growth of women's sports generally and NWSL specifically. And then last but not least, from Ryan, he talks about the championship in England, and he says Ryan says watch out for Sunderland when the championship restarts. A healthy Ross Stewart will be a big boost, and we saw how good Sims and Stewart play off each other. Still thinking Sunderland will challenge for a playoff spot.
Yeah, Ross Stewart is fantastic and spent a lot of time when I've been on TalkSport speaking about him. I'm not sure though, because there just seems to be And I love Tony Mowbray coming in there, and I think that that's really kind of pushed their attack forward. But I'm not sure that they quite have what it takes to get into that top six. But they're not going to get relegated, which is good news, and I think next season they can push into that top six. Who knows? It might happen this year. The league is so competitive. The clubs you and I root for in the championship, Chris, Swansea, QPR, just outside the top six right now. So it's going to be an exciting second half or second portion. I guess it's not second half, second portion of the season December 10th, by the way, the championship comes back. So if you're kind of fed up with the World Cup and you don't want to watch the last week, or you want to watch some other football, the championship is back after the quarterfinals of the World Cup, I believe, is when the championship restarts.
All right, Kartik, I'm going to ask you one question here, too. What do you think the TV ratings are going to be for the 2022 World Cup?
I think that they will be somewhere in between the Russia 2018 ratings on Fox and the Brazil 2014 ratings on ESPN and ABC. So I think because the U.S. is in it, you'll have a bigger bump and a little more buzz. And the times are okay. And obviously the U.S. playing, FIFA doing the U.S. a great favor, or Fox a great favor, by having the U.S. games all starting at 2 o'clock Eastern time, which, by the way, is a time soccer fans have shown they'll watch games on weekdays. We've seen it on CBS now, CBS over the air with Champions League. I think that puts you in a range where maybe the U.S. games get 17 million viewers, something like that. Maybe not. Maybe not on the Black Friday one will, but maybe not the Monday Wales game or the Iran game. Those are work days. But I think they'll be okay for the U.S. games. I'm not sure they're going to be that great on other matches. And maybe the World Cup final will actually do a lower number than it did the France-Croatia final, because of it being in December, congested sports calendar, more importantly, holiday period. I don't think people watch. I mean, I guess American football fans watch a lot of sports at this time of year, but for me, it's kind of it's almost a blackout period outside of watching club football from Europe, which I make a priority. But even that, you know, if I miss games, it tends to be in December. So in the Premier League or the Championship or the Bundesliga or Serie A, it tends to be in December I miss games. So I think that it might be uneven. It will be different than any previous World Cup, because it's not in the summer. And also you have the factor of the U.S. playing during the holidays, during a holiday weekend, which is going to spike on an over-the-air network, which is going to spike the numbers for that. But maybe the timing depresses numbers elsewhere.
Yeah, I think my personal insight into this is that there's not a lot going for it. I mean, so there's not much of a buzz because of the club season ending so late before the tournament starts. And the timing of these games is not ideal. Also kind of the conflicts with college football and NFL games on weekends. There's also, of course, the human rights abuses and the controversies about playing it in Qatar. So you even have soccer fans that are basically boycotting or not planning on watching many of the games. And then you have the question mark about the U.S. squad and how well they can do in this tournament. Confidence, I don't think, is that high. I mean, there's a lot of people kind of thinking that the first game is the most important game. If they win that game, then things are looking up. But if U.S. loses that first game, it could really have a negative effect in terms of the number of viewers watching this tournament. So a lot of it comes down to the U.S. I mean, it really does. And I think it's going to be very similar to 2018 World Cup. Even without when the U.S. wasn't in the tournament, the 2018 World Cup was at least in the summertime, when a lot of people are, I mean, either off school, right, out of college, or if they're working at home, or they have a lot more free time. There's not as many conflicts in terms of, maybe there's a baseball game, Major League Baseball, but that's about it for the most part. So I'm expecting numbers very similar to 2018. The other part of this, too, is that streaming has had such a major impact, is that it's going to be harder to kind of figure out what those numbers are, to combine them with the TV numbers to come up with kind of a final count. So some of the TV numbers might appear to be less, but when you combine it with the streaming numbers, actually might be a little bit better. All right, listeners, if you do have any questions for us about anything that we've discussed today or anything in regards to television, streaming, radio coverage, etc., ways to watch or listen to this beautiful game, let us know. We'd love to share your feedback and questions on air. There's a few different ways you can reach us. You can, if you want to, you can leave a voicemail. So you just call 561-247-4625. And leave a comment in the voicemail there, or you can go ahead and post a comment on the website worldsoccertalk.com, click on podcasts and then click on the latest episode and leave your comment in there, or of course facebook.com/worldsoccertalk, send us a message. Twitter, we can be reached at worldsoccertalk, and then last but not least through email, which is web@worldsoccertalk.com. Kartik, the hurricane is over. The midterms are over.
It's funny you mentioned the hurricane is over, because in the background I have a video playing about the NHC, National Hurricane Center, and Hurricane Nicole. So yeah, I guess it's over for everyone but me. But yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, hurricane season ends when? November 1st?
November 30th, but we usually don't get anything after November 1st, which is what made this, especially coming from the east, which made Nicole so rare for those of us living in Florida, a sign of the apocalypse, perhaps. But we survived it. You and I are both still here. So
that's right. That's right. All right. Well, maybe no more hurricanes. Maybe no more midterms. Well, actually, no, it's still not done yet. And then, so most of the politics, most of the hurricanes are out of the way for the most part. But it does come back to soccer. So where can people find you on Twitter or Facebook or other places if they want to interact with you?
Yeah, KKFLA737 on Twitter and on Facebook. I just reactivated my account. I'm posting a lot of videos from natural areas around Florida, but we'll be talking World Cup once it rolls around. That's just my name, Kartik Krishnayer.
All right, listeners. Well, thank you so much for listening. We will be back in a few days about talking about the World Cup and the coverage. Certainly we'll be bringing a lot of the analysis to you. Kartik, getting ready for the next World Cup. It's coming in just in a few days. Starts on Sunday, November 20th. Goes through till December 18th. It's going to be 30 days of craziness. What are you going to do, and what should the listeners do?
Enjoy your football.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.